Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent, it's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
Hey, I'm Joe DeCamera.
And I'm John Ritchie. We're the guys behind the 94 WIP Morning Show, the place Philly sports fans turn to every morning.
Eagles, Philly, Sixers, Flyers, if it matters in this city, we're talking about it.
We bring real opinions, smart analysis, and yeah, some chaos too.
From breaking news to big name guests, it's all here.
Whether you're tailgating or stuck in traffic, we've got your Philly sports fix.
Follow and listen to the 94 WIP Morning Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and get new episodes every weekday.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds podcast.
the Go Birds podcast. Elliot Shore Parks.
I said that.
Nailed that. Yeah. And I was getting ready to segue. And James Seltzer, I'm with us. Special guest. I was going to say friend of the pod. Best friend of the pod.
The best friend of the pod.
Like, easily, without a doubt. Like, our go-to guest.
Grandfather.
And also, happy belated birthday to our guy about a week ago. The one,
wait,
the only.
Your
18th, I believe.
Yes.
Yep. Editor-in-chief of BleedingGreenNation.com, our guy Brandon Lee Gout. What up, BLG?
That makes me sound so much more important than I really am. Which is why
you're pretty important.
Well, I appreciate that, which is why I made up the title and gave it to myself.
So. I will say the in-chief.
Well, I made up the beat writer you need.
Yeah, the in-chief, you know, because like the president, you know, the commander-in-chief. Uh-huh. I think the in-chief, like editor, it makes it, it does. Any editor-in-chief sounds like big time.
Maybe I'll call myself the beat writer chief.
Oh, I like that.
Not beat writer you need is what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I think
I like the Bleeding Green Nation hat, by the way.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's like a nice little, we were talking about merch. Tucker has on a nice piece of WrestleMania.
He does.
Merch.
He does, nice, yes.
The you know, BGN merch.
I would never wear that personally.
Hat?
No, the WrestleMania. I would wear the Bleeding Green Nation hat in a second because I'm not a wrestler. I was just making a joke about it. Taking a shot at wrestling. It's just a joke. Just a joke. All the wrestling fans out there, it's real.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
Ultimate Warrior.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I go deep.
I feel like The Rock is clear. Well,
I was older, so I'm like Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Ultimate Warrior.
Andre
like,
the
I'm
Giant's
like right before
wrestler.
The Rock and them were like right after. Yeah. I knew what was happening, but I was kind of out on wrestling by then.
Andre the Giant documentary.
I do. Oh yeah, I saw it. Very good. I will say, I think The Rock is probably the most talented, entertaining person to ever be on WWE.
Most electrifying. Man,
he's pretty great at it. Yeah.
You think more than, and again, off the field, off the ring, but like Hulk Hogan, I feel like.
Ooh.
No, I think The Rock was better than Hulk.
You think so?
I think the Hulk was bigger in wrestling.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not
I think
talent,
the Hulk. No,
I'm
I think
saying,
the Hulk. Yeah. It's like you're doing the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. I think Hulk's the first
that's
face
what
on
I'm
it.
Saying. Correct.
I agree with that. I think The Rock was a more talented performer, speaker, all that stuff. I think The Rock's the most talented person to ever be in the WWF.
You're saying you didn't like Hulk Hogan as a wrestler, but you did like him.
No.
As a person.
No, I'm saying. Remove
the fan of the person.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible wrestler.
Just to be clear. Yeah.
I'm a big Eddie Guerrero guy. Shout out to Eddie.
Oh, nice.
So
when
you asked
a Philly guy, Eddie Guerrero, I think or something.
No,
I'm thinking of Eddie Alvarez. I'm thinking Eddie Alvarez.
Boxer, right?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Wow.
No
big deal to me.
What a shock. You actually knew who that was.
Once I learn a name, it's in there. The issue is learning it.
Yeah,
the issue is sticking with it. So when you asked to come on the pod last week, do you think like this is what you had in mind, wrestling?
I mean, I did bring it up. And I did ask you.
We missed you. So, yeah.
It's been since, I think, right before, a little bit after training camp started, I think you did like a 53-man roster projection.
Yeah, that's right. Ben Van Sumeren, you won that one.
That's right.
Yeah, oh, he did win that one.
He did win that one.
And then it was a quick end to it.
The first snap of the season, terrible.
Yeah. Well, I also think you won it the way that Cam Latu like plays.
Yeah.
And like that would have been Ben.
No, that was
Ben
the heart of what he
said. Yeah, I agree.
No,
you were right about that.
Who knows how much better this offense could have been if Ben Van Sumeren were there. You know what I'm saying?
I'd fix everything.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Nick, all right, so you know Nick puts like the stickers on his hats?
Yeah, the people are out for the year.
You know what's weird? He puts it under the brim now.
Really?
It was over the brim before.
Do you think it's because he doesn't want to make players feel bad that they forgot?
Maybe,
that?
But there like, was clearly a conscious decision.
He's not important enough to get numbered on the hat, and then he has to have
And
questions.
Also, Johnny Wilson's not there, and Johnny Wilson's out for the year.
That's a good point.
Good point.
So,
maybe it's in-season
injuries.
What's
the distinction, I guess?
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't love it from a standpoint of it almost seems like they died. Like it's like very like serious. It's like they're okay. Like
I am fine with it.
If they trade AJ, will I put 11 there?
Well, it's like with Rob Thompson when he's like the guys who aren't when he did this speech, everybody's like for the guys who aren't here anymore. Jeez Louise, man. And then he shouts out Alvarado. It's like, well, there's a reason he's not there, big dog. But exactly. I don't want to talk about that team.
No, the Phillies.
Let's talk about a team that actually has a chance to win a championship still. How about that? How about that?
So it's funny. Maybe this is a little too inside baseball.
It's never too inside. Look at you just nailing the phrase.
Thank you. I thought I got that one.
Yeah. It's a miracle.
So like, I feel like it's actually a perfect time to have you on because you. Like,
hold on.
Every time is a
every time.
Time.
Always
is
a perfect time.
A perfect
time. Yes, this is a particularly perfect time. Yes, go ahead.
So like, the Eagles are playing the Vikings. It's not going well.
Yeah.
And our good buddy BLG texts us and says, I need to come on.
Yeah.
Need to come on the pod.
Right.
And like, it's so crazy to think how different, I can only speak for you, but how different I even feel about the team over the last six quarters as opposed to at that moment. Cause I agree. Like when you texted and I was in Minnesota, me and Tucker did the halftime show and it was like what this team looks exactly the same. Like what it was, they were supposed to come out different. And then the second half happens, the Giant games happen. So like, I guess just to start, very morning, like, where are you at?
what a question.
That's football, though. I mean, like, that's how, you know, totally. How quick things can change. Yeah, I think just my criticism, the why I wanted to come on is because I feel like when things are going not perfectly, it's just like, what is Nick Sirianni contributing to, like, get this back on track? Now, to his credit, I'll give him credit, because I think one thing you can look at over his tenure is when they have these low points, like they lose two games in a row, and they bounce back. They don't just go in the tank, other than
the biggest collapse. And even then,
you could say after 2023, they came back and won the Super Bowl the next year. Yeah, so if you want to look at it that way, you know.
Yeah, there's these times where they hit these lows, and that's how I felt in that moment. I was like, I'm not ready to say it's season over just because they lost two games, because they have bounced back before. But it's just like, what specifically is he bringing to the table? And that's how I felt in the first half of that Vikings game, because, like, offense isn't there. And I was talking to you about this back in September, just the amount of Kevin Betullo, and I think you and I are on the same page.
Yeah.
The amount of Kevin Betullo talk there's been this season. It's just like, I just think that's such a tired subject. Not to say he is above criticism. He absolutely, I think, has been part of the problem with the offense this year.
It's an easy scapegoat type.
It's literally Nick's guy. So, like,
I said you got to put both together.
That's all I've.
And Jalen.
I'm not saying don't blame Nick. I'm saying, anytime
you're talking about scheme issues, put them both
anytime
together.
You're bringing up,
I agree with you.
Kevin, and also, like, even if Nick's not involved with the offense and we don't want him involved with the offense, that's an indictment on him at some level, especially in the context he was hired. He was hired to call plays. He was doing that early in his career. And he was so bad at it that they had to demote him at it. And
he chose to give it up. Let's get the story straight,
please. That's right. Yeah. So
egoless head coach. What a miracle.
But here's the only thing I would say about, like, that. I think if Nick wanted play calling back, he'd have it at this point.
At this point, I agree.
So, like, I'm not disputing.
But it wouldn't go well based on what
we've
seen.
Know.
But that's my point. I do think with Nick, at the end of the day, the reason I believe that story, and I believe it from the beginning, I do truly believe all he cares about is winning. Like, kind of like Jalen, where it's like, I do think that Nick, the credit for Nick is secondary. I actually do believe that. And I think ego is a big thing. I think you have to have some level of an ego to get to the level that these people are at. Like, you don't become the head coach of an NFL franchise unless you are confident and have some ego and don't believe in yourself and all that stuff. But I do think that compared to a lot of coaches, I think that Nick truly does, like, is willing to put himself lower if it's going to raise the team up. So, like, I think that from that perspective, I mean, I think that's a really good thing to have.
The only thing I would push back on with that is I do agree that what ties Nick and Jalen together is, like, the obsession with competitiveness and winning, right? Mm-hmm. I also think, though, Nick and Jalen, I'll include Jalen even though we're talking about Nick, they are, like, such huge football guys. I think they're such football historians in a way.
I agree.
I do think it matters to Nick and Jalen where they ultimately end up being ranked in the history of the
game. I agree, but I think Nick knows that winning credit, is all that matters.
I agree
with that. You know what I mean?
But I think in terms of, like, Nick and Jalen, I believe, like, care where they're ranked. You know, like, I think, like, when Jalen would never admit it, Nick would never admit it other than the time he jokingly yelled at me in the hallway of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Like, they are aware of, like, when they're being disrespected.
And I think part of being competitive and part of finding a way to motivate.
And, well, I think what's interesting about your thing is, like, see, you know, it sounds silly now, but I was with you at the halftime of Minnesota. Yeah. It's like, this thing could fall apart, right? Like, it was funny. I was looking at, like, old pod titles yesterday for some reason. And the pod title we did after the Giants loss was Things Are Falling Apart Again, right? And, like, so it's easy now to sit here and, like, we'll talk in a minute how we feel about the team. But you're right in terms of, like, when it's not going well, there is a sense of hopelessness with this team that I think to a certain degree pokes a little bit at our true confidence in Nick and Jalen. Mm-hmm. But they always turn it around. And I think, like, to your point about what does Nick offer, for as emotional as he is, I do think he is somewhat of a steady hand. And I also think he is one of the best head coaches, certainly I've ever covered. I can't speak to their teams as well because I don't follow it, but he is very good in season at fixing things. And so whenever it feels like it's reached that low point and where I'm with you, where, like, you know, we'll be texting or, like, whatever, and it's like, man, this thing is, like, not good, right? It seems to always turn around. And I think there is a skill in that.
Yeah, I think there's absolutely a resiliency there that he does get credit for. Again, at my most dissatisfied, it was just with how inept this offense can be.
Yeah.
Where they just go through entire stretches of games where not only, like, they're not scoring, they literally cannot, like, gain yardage.
Yeah.
Like, they have like in the Vikings game, it was, I forget, something.
I mean,
like,
they had -2 passing yards in a half of the game.
Like, it's like, how is that happening with all the talent you have? And it just feels like sometimes that it's like, and even the success in the Vikings game, I think a lot of that, you know, felt like that's not like scheme as much as it was. And there was there's some schematic stuff out, a little bit, but more so, yeah, it was about the players just playing. And ultimately, at the end of the day, players get the most credit.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it. But
then they should also get the most blame.
Sure. Well, yes. But when it's continuing to happen and the coaches, you know, you're not seeing the coaches provide help at some level, then that's, I think that was the issue.
Yeah.
Now, to their credit, encouraging to see in the Giants game, it felt like coaching was part of it too.
Big time.
Schematics were
big
part time. Of the equation there. And it's not just like, oh, the good players are making good plays.
Yeah.
So that was encouraging to see. That's what I wanted to see more of. I don't regret being frustrated with how I felt. I was like, no, this is exactly why I was frustrated, because this is what it could look like when you're actually getting help from the
coaching staff. But I also think like remembering how fresh we all felt is important because it highlights how much of a turnaround they have had, you know? And so like the other thing I'll say too about the schematics of it all with like the players, and I'm slowly forgetting my thought as I say it. God.
Oh, that always happens.
I know.
It's the worst. I'll go and you can jump back in. I do think too, though, that, and we do this a lot with it, and it's why, you know, I've been a big leader men coach guy or whatever. I think for a long time, we focus too much on the schematics with coaching and not everything else that a coach does. And I think that when you talk about whether it's motivation, whether it's getting guys to believe in what you're doing and to follow and to practice hard and to, you know, they're coming to Nick and being like, let's hit, let's all, like, I think that he creates, I believe in culture. Like, I believe culture, you know, I've said this, I believe culture matters anywhere you work, whether it's a football team or a radio station or an accounting office or whatever. If it's a happy place to work, if people are in a good mood, if you like the people you work with, you're going to be better at your job. A rising tide raises all ships in this department, in my opinion. And I do think that Nick is a real, like, I think he has proven to be a pretty great culture guy. And I do think that is, it matters. And I think it gets underrated.
Can I say my point quickly? Sorry, before I forget it again. And then you can respond to that. Like, I do think I personally probably underestimated how hard the adjustment, which is crazy because I talked a lot about the difficulty of repeating. But I do think that, like, when we talk about Brian Johnson in 2023 and Kevin Batul in 2025, they had tasks that Steichen and Kellen Moore did not, in the way that the teams were coming off of Super Bowls. I know they lost in 22, but they were coming off of a Super Bowl. And I do think, like, now that we're in week 9, which is crazy, like,
it's crazy.
It obviously took some time for them to adjust to a defense. Well, and also doing
Kevin Petullo has never called plays in his life. Like,
yeah.
Of course, like, that was the whole thing I said at the beginning when I was like, I don't think it looks great, but I didn't expect this guy to just hop in and be like, dot, you know, boom, boom, boom. Like, right. You learn, it's a rhythm. Anything is reps. And everything in life. Like, so I just thought this guy needed more time to really understand if he is good at it or not.
Yeah.
On the culture point, which has been a little weird this year, though.
That's it part has, of the thing. Well, the AJ Jalen thing is, and we've given Nick, we've said, hey, at the end of the day, I know friendships are weird and relationships are tough, but at the end of the day, like, Nick, if you're a culture coach, you have to be able to get this out. We've said that many times.
It is a massive failure if the Eagles, like, have to trade AJ Brown because, like, the culture part can't work
out.
I don't know that that's necessarily on Nick.
Totally,
I mean, if AJ is who he, like, if it's all AJ's fault, like, I don't know that there's anyone that could get through to him if it goes that way. Well,
I just think if you're the culture guy, like, that has to, you have to get that. Like, you have to get that right. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL.
No,
like, he can be. I mean, like, he at his best. Yes, he is.
I think he's one. I think Jamar Chase is better. Justin Jefferson's better.
Is he having the best?
I think Puka's better
season in the NFL at wide receiver. No, obviously not. But I think at his peak, he's at least in that.
Yeah. Tier. He's like a top five guy.
And if you mess that up at some level, like, okay, maybe it's just, if it's like T.O., obviously, then there's only so much you can do at some point.
I think there, I mean,
I don't think that's where we're at.
But this is a pattern. I mean, A.J. Brown was complaining when they were winning 38-70 against the Giants in a playoff game. You know, like, it's just been year after year after year after year of A.J. Brown stuff.
This is the easy part. The hard part is getting that player.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's very hard to get a player.
I just think it's unfair, especially if him and Jalen have issues and there's friendship and there's history and there's stuff. Like, I don't think it's fair to
figure
say
it
that
out.
It's all on Nick Sirianni.
It's like, not all on him, but it is definitely a big part of it.
I agree, but I also think that there are certain situations with certain players where the answer is to get rid of that player, no matter how good they are. I mean, look, the Boston Red Sox traded Nomar Garciaparra and went on to win the World Series that year. And everyone was like, what the hell did they trade for a defensive shortstop? Orlando Cabrera, and people were like, this is the craziest move ever, and they went on to win the World Series. Like, it didn't. Seattle got rid of an entire set, and I think it was a mistake, but they got rid of an entire secondary for Russell Wilson. Like, we've seen stuff happen where teams say, I know that this guy is talented, but for the good of the 52 other guys, we have to get rid of him. And I don't, and I'm not saying that's this situation, but I think that there are situations where even a coach or a manager who is great can't save a particular person in a situation.
Yeah, it's that's an extreme case, what you're saying, where that would be the case.
Exactly. And I think if they trade AJ Brown, I think that's the case. Like, I don't think they'd have to be forced to trade AJ Brown, in terms of what they want to do.
So, all right, let me hop in and see what you guys fall on this, because you're obviously on different sides, right? Like, all right. So first of all, we know Nick and AJ have a great relationship, right? Like, they FaceTime all the time. And all that.
Yeah. We don't know anything.
No, but
like, we're not in the discussion.
Correct. Whatever. Yes. I don't know the levels of their friendship.
We know what we're told is the point. Yes.
Well, they FaceTime every Monday. I think that's noteworthy.
But I think Nick FaceTimes with a lot of players. Whatever.
I don't think Nick's FaceTiming with multiple players.
All I'm saying is we don't know the relationship, but yes, we know what agreed, we're told.
But
we know,
correct.
We know all, that's all I'm saying is we right. don't know.
That. Okay. How about this? Like, the perception I get is that they are very close, right? That's just Nick. AJ always defends Nick. Nick always defends Jalen or AJ.
Except that time in Seattle when he let him take the heat for 2 weeks.
So, but that, see, we disagree on that. Like, I think that was more Jalen than it was. But AJ was the one that ultimately came out and ended it.
2 weeks later.
Correct. But he still at least did it. Jalen never came out and defended. But, like, regardless where I'm at with the Nick in terms of his culpability, if they do trade AJ, like, I think he's gotten the most out of AJ. I agree with you philosophically that if they have to trade AJ, then, like, there are things that probably everybody could have done better.
It's not just on him, but
that's
he's part of it.
But, like, how many times have the Eagles dealt with something like this? Like, where a player, in theory, and I know we're taking leaps, and like, and where a player wants to be traded, and it becomes like, when's the last time a player demanded a trade from the Eagles?
I mean, T.O. was the last situation like this. Yeah.
Hurts. Yeah. That's a good one. You're right. Hurts. Yeah. So, like, I think they deserve to a certain degree the benefit of that. Like, if AJ is traded, we will do a pod and we'll talk about it. But, like, when you are winning 80% of your games and you've been to 2 Super Bowls in 2 years, I'm not saying that's the ultimate trump card, but I have shifted a little bit. Maybe this is the next level of the conversation. Like, Sunday for me felt a shift for me personally. I was team AJ before Sunday. Hold on. Let me explain why, right? I get it's one game, but I think there is an element now to me of, like, before I thought the team needed to, I thought AJ was correct. Right. Like, he should be getting the ball more. The passing game is not good enough. Like, and I still think there is truth to that.
Yeah.
I also think, though, what Sunday showed me personally was, like, this train is moving. And, like, if I was Jeffrey and Howie and Nick, if it's to this point, I would sit down with AJ and go, AJ, we want you on the team. We like you. We FaceTime all the time. Like, but you got to decide, because if we keep you past this trade deadline, no more posts, no, like, we need you on board. Right. And I think what Sunday changed for me was, before then, I would have not done that. Like, I would have been catering to AJ. Yep. Now I think AJ needs to cater to the Eagles more than vice versa.
Yeah, I don't buy that. Like, they were better without him. I mean, like,
they're not better without him.
Of course, they're not better without him.
That's been,
I think it's a crazy thing to say. I think it's a crazy thing to say.
I mean, they were awesome in the passing game. Had a huge game and him involved.
They're better with AJ. We all agree.
Yes, they're better with AJ. But there is a level of, like, so this is not to long talk here, but, like, remember when me and you got into the argument about if they should sign Justin Fields or not? And I said it wasn't fair to Jalen, right? I also think there's a point of, like, however, and me and you are, like, similar feelings about Jalen to an extent. I guess I should check in and see how you feel, like, now. But, like, if AJ doesn't like Jalen, like, I don't know, man. Like, at a certain point, like, you got to do what's right for Jalen.
You think it says more about AJ at that point than it
does. And also,
no, I don't think it says either about any of them.
The point is that you're going to choose Jalen, is what he's saying. And I do think to that what it says about, I will say, if we go back to last year and what Brandon Graham said, like, BG, like, really said, like, made it very clear. He's like, Jalen's trying here. Like, Jalen is doing everything he can to extend an olive branch and make it. And even this year, like, none of this stuff has come from Jalen. All we've heard from Jalen are positive things about, he doesn't take any public stuff.
Correct.
At a certain point, and I think AJ has lost a lot of, like, grace with the fan base over the last few weeks. I think at first, I think a lot of people were Elliot was, where it's like,
I was hard.
Right. Troy Jimbo. And I think as he keeps doing it, especially after the Minnesota game with the 2 touchdowns, 121 or whatever, and to do it then, I think a lot of people are like, you know what? Shut up, dude. Like, I'm tired of this. Like, I'm tired of it.
I think people need
it.
To get off social media. I think that's
You know how long I've been saying that, buddy.
I look at that post, and I honestly, my reaction is, I don't know what this means.
I agree. But Brandon, I agree. But the point is that this season with him doing it, the whole thing, but he knows that when he puts a post out that it's going to be interpreted some way or another. And whether right or wrong, it's what it is. When you put out something like using me, but not using me, you know that that is going to cause an issue.
Do you think that happens with, let's say, like, it's not the best example now because not doing so hot, like, but Bill Belichick in his prime, the Patriots. Is AJ doing that? You know what I mean? Like, at some level, head coach has to, like, rein him in, big dog.
I don't disagree with that. Like, I've said
this isn't
going to
fly.
Yeah. I think they need to sit him down.
That's part of where Nick needs to, like, rein it in a little bit. And I think part of it is that, like, you know, players love him. And he's obviously, like, I think a good guy, at least how the players perceive
him. That's what I always say to Elliot. But he's always like, he's a good teammate. I don't know that he's a good teammate.
I think you got to be like a little more tough love sometimes, a little more authority. And I don't know that he always has that.
You can see the same thing with the Jalen Carter stuff. You know, I don't love that, like a little soft.
But I don't know what he's supposed to do. Like with Jalen Carter, it's very clear. He spit on someone, you can bench him. Like, what are you going to bench? Or like, I don't know.
I think you tell AJ, stop
enough.
Freaking
yeah,
tweet.
This
like,
ends
it's
now.
Like done.
It's
like,
over.
You don't
pay.
They've talked to you about it.
But I don't know. Then you know what? At a certain point, then yeah, maybe you bench him or you do something. You embarrass him publicly. Like, to me.
There has to be some accountability.
Are you going to keep doing this? Like, we're going to keep doing this every time. Jalen's going to have to answer questions about AJ every freaking week for the rest of the season. And Nick's going to have to answer questions about AJ every week for the rest of the season. I mean, again, today, Joe had to ask him about AJ. Again, every time Nick's on with us on the morning show, Joe has to ask him about AJ. He doesn't want to. He's, like, tired of it. But you know what? He has to because AJ keeps doing it.
Yeah, so, like...
there he is.
Yeah. Excited to be excited.
That's right.
I'm trying to think of where to go with this. Like, first, I would say that I think, like, to the degree we're talking about it, like, we're going, like, 20% too far in an extent. Like, I think AJ has issues with, like, certain things. I think there is, like, a level of distraction. I definitely think inside the building, it's, like, 60% of what it is outside the building. And I only say that to say, like, look, I love the roller coaster. I love the emotion. Like, I'm not saying we should talk about it less. But when it comes to, like, you know, him being a massive distraction.
I don't disagree.
Like, I don't think he is a massive. And I also think
he is a distraction, though.
I think he is a distraction.
For who?
I think he's a distraction when they have to deal with the media.
That's my point. Correct. Is that you're always asked questions about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Right. But
I don't know what it is past that. I mean, I don't think him and Jalen get along.
I think the Jalen thing to me is like the core of this, too.
I agree.
And this is where I wanted to talk. I feel like this is a pod topic, not like a radio topic. So, like, the deleting of the tweets by AJ, right? There is no better human we could have on this.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on because this is one of the all time. Let me tell you, someone who, you know, gets up at 3 a.m. and comes in, whatever, like, no idea. Like, it is really hard to figure out if some of these things are real or
yes.
Not. Like, we've not talked about stuff on the air because we're just not sure. And this is one. We have not brought up this deleting tweets thing on the morning show because we're just not 100% sure if it happened or not. It seems like it did. I don't know. Right. Perfect person to ask.
There's a lot of like stuff like that that does bother me. Like, we were talking about that with the AJ clip from the
he clearly didn't say that
where he's
thing,
mic'd up and people do that all the time.
Yes,
it's just like,
oh, well, you said this. Yeah,
like,
oh,
like,
totally.
No, we didn't. I'm watching.
So with you,
like,
I'm so with
and
you
because people don't have the volume on. They just see that tweet and they're like, oh, he must have said
I'm
it.
So
and people
with
want
you.
To believe.
Exactly. Yes,
I mean, people and, just ascribe to whatever they want. Yeah,
100%. And then Twitter goes off and then it becomes real. Like, we'll get callers saying he said this, and it's like
societal problem.
Yeah,
misinformation. But. What were we even talking
about? So first of all, do you believe that he was deleting tweets?
Well, let me summarize it for people.
For the
Jalen. Because this is like a deep cut online.
This is terminally
online. So on Sunday morning, it started to be revealed by like some Eagles accounts that AJ was deleting tweets where he complimented Jalen.
So apparently the way it was found out was people were quote tweeting the old tweets.
Quote tweeting old tweets where AJ said nice things about Jalen. And then those tweets were deleted is what is claimed to have been happening.
Yeah. Alleged.
Like, I don't know. You're very good at online. I'm online too. Like, you're, what's your level of
depressing sentence?
No, but it's true. Like, it's a great skill of yours.
You are.
Like,
right?
No, I'm not denying. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Kind of your brand a little bit. Yeah.
Like, do you think he deleted tweets?
I mean, seems like it from what I can see, but, I don't know that it means he hates Jalen Hurts.
Of course not. No.
Hold on. Let's take a step back. Like, we're going to do this.
It means something.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
If he actually deleted tweets where he was complimenting Jalen,
it's
like,
bad.
That is that
I don't know what his mindset was in it. That could be
what else could his mindset be?
Well, it could just be like, oh, my Twitter.
Imagine if I had
up.
All these
like,
nice tweets about
know.
James and I deleted them.
I think it's hard to get into AJ Brown's
mind. It's like deleting
mind.
Your ex off your Instagram. Like, it's really not that
I
different.
Get what you're saying. I think AJ's mind is a very interesting place to be. Mm-hmm. And I also think he's very misunderstood.
And he's emotional. He's an emotional guy, very clearly. 100%. You know?
And he's
look, I'm emotional. You guys know that.
Like 27
no, he's seven. Like, yeah, I'm emotional.
So here's
I'm emotional. 44.
There is truth to that. There is absolutely truth to that. But like, let's also like hold him a little responsible for his actions. Yeah. If he's deleting tweets complimenting Jalen, there's not many ways to interpret that.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
Especially again when. He knows that everything he does on social media is under a microscope.
If he was deleting those tweets, it would not. Then he should not be shocked that it's a story.
Of course. I think some of
he's lucky it's not a bigger story.
Honestly, it's only
honest.
Because people don't know. I think if people knew for sure it was real, it would be a bigger story.
I think it's some of the framing I saw, maybe, I don't know if this is fair or not, was just like that. He was just like, he randomly just woke up and was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to delete all my old tweets about Jalen Hurts. That wasn't the case, at least from what I can tell. Like, I don't think he was like literally just like, let me comb.
He saw they were getting traction.
Yeah, he saw some old tweets are getting traction, and maybe he was just like, I don't want this out there. I don't know. I don't know why, but it's definitely weird. It's just, it's all very weird.
Yeah, so do you think, like, let's maybe, like, do you think they're going to trade him?
They shouldn't. So
therefore move past that.
Therefore, I can't allow myself to say they will, because like it would make no sense. Also, especially if it's for draft picks, what does that do for you this year? That's not I'm not taking like the whatever morale boost you think it would get.
I agree.
Like, that's not worth it to me.
So I think if they trade AJ at the deadline, like they got to be positive. The locker room.
What it tells me, if they trade AJ at the deadline, it is that they believed that it was so bad that they could not go the rest of the season with this guy.
I actually think
they
would put up with it if it's bad. I think if they trade him, it'll be because AJ makes it crystal clear.
That's my point. Jalen, the team, whatever, can't live with this situation anymore.
But I think they only trade him if AJ asks out. That's what I'm trying to say.
I
think there is zero chance they trade him.
I think AJ like has to say, I'll freaking sit or something. Like, he has to like force his way out. Yeah.
What's the least you would take for him?
I mean, I don't want to trade him.
Well, let's say like it's untouchable.
You have first.
Just one first.
Yeah, you're not getting a first. You're not getting a first for AJ.
You absolutely would get a first.
You absolutely would not get a first.
He's on a good contract.
Yeah, he's on
relative to the team that's trading for him.
So you got a first for him 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but even better.
He's older.
He's 27. He's in his prime. Like, he's in his physical prime.
No, I'm saying you think you're getting the same value as how many players get traded for the same value twice 3 years later?
He's been better than he was earlier in his career.
Yeah,
he's also 3 years older.
But he's on a better contract. He's on a good contract.
He has
now, too.
Some version of leg issues, right? Like,
Dude,
I honestly, maybe I'm underestimating this. I think you would get like a three that could be
That's crazy.
I think you're getting at least a two.
So think about the teams that would have more. Now they might not trade him for
that. And also, you have to consider too, the trade deadline is like a heightened market. You know, relative to the offseason. Like, people are like, oh, we're one piece away. We're desperate. Teams are willing to give up more than ever.
But think about this. The team that's acquiring AJ is a small group of teams. It's teams that can compete this year and teams that like need a receiver. And it's teams that want AJ wants to go to. Right. So like, he'll have some say on where he lands. Now, let me throw some hypothetical trades by you, because I've been thinking about it. Would you trade him straight up for Trayvon Walker, the edge rusher from the Jags?
No.
I don't know how good he's been, so I don't know.
He's very good the past 2 years. I haven't followed him as closely this year.
No.
Premier edge rusher, 10.5 sacks each of the last 2 years. No. All right. Would you trade him?
I wouldn't trade him for like this is what I would trade him for. Like, three firsts and a player. That's what it would take for me. I know, but like that's what it would take for me.
All right. He's not trading him.
So I'm guessing you're not gonna like the Jalen Waddle and a two take.
No, I don't think there's, because I don't think anything is worth that.
Like, it would be funny to send AJ to Miami. Go play with two of them.
I don't even think they would want him. Like, what's the point? Right. Yeah. Wow. You value AJ as a trade piece way more.
He's really good. He's impossible to stop at his peak. He is.
So then why has the passing game been so bad the first 5 weeks,
That's a great question. I don't think it's him.
And the passing game wasn't good last year for the most part. So like, it's almost like he's a luxury to an extent. Now, you could argue if you lose him, like, the passing game completely craters, right? But like, let's not act like they've been some high flying passing offense with him here.
Well, especially if you lose Devontae too. If you trade him, Devontae goes down. Jalen doesn't even like throwing to John Dotson. That much is evident.
I think that's changing.
He had So he had the touchdown catch. That was great.
One target, right?
Before that, he had one target for 0 yards in a game where that he was the number two wide receiver, and they weren't even throwing.
Maybe
to
I'm just
else.
Wrong about this, but it feels like he's getting targeted more than last year.
I mean,
well, more than last year. He was even on the team. I mean,
they worked out together in Houston this offseason.
I don't think
I agree with you. If you trade AJ, you have to get another receiver.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Agree
with you on that. So again, should or shouldn't? What's like your guess?
No, they won't.
I don't think they will either. I think he gets traded in the offseason is my guess.
Unless it was in some insane offer, like I just said, it would have. That's the only way I could see it,
dude. If they get offered,
they won't.
They won't. I know. I'm not.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA cleared and CE marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone free, and side effect free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Honestly, think they would trade any player on the roster besides maybe Jalen Hurts
for three ones. I agree.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Can I say something about the next year though? Because I also think we've gone a little far in assuming he's gone.
No, I was like, just saying if I had to bet.
But I think like if he's on the roster past the trade deadline, that's a long time to fix this. Mm-hmm. And I would the last thing I'll say about AJ, even though it's impossible to talk about it because it's so interesting, is I actually think if they called AJ's bluff and they were like, we're going to trade you, like, just to be clear, we're going to do it. Are you sure? I think he'd back off.
I don't know.
I think at the end of the day,
I think he's unhappy. It's been so long. Like, I think he doesn't want to be here. That's my take on AJ is he doesn't want to be here. That's what I think.
I mostly agree with you. Like, yeah. I, to your point about social media and getting off social media, I agree. But the issue with it is AJ's fighting this battle on social
media. Yeah, and he keeps doing it. Like, he keeps doing it. No matter what we want him to do, no matter what the team wants him to do, he keeps doing it. Like, no matter what happens. So
now he has been quiet the past 2 weeks. I'm just putting it out there.
Like, yeah, he still deleted tweets. He wasn't quiet.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, he still did something that he knew that people would react to. Let's get to Jalen, because it's been a lot. We probably spend too much. People are listening. Being like,
but
right,
it's so interesting.
Let's be real. I agree. Like, I'm with
so
you.
I'm with I know you. People don't like to talk about it because it makes them sad. But like, it's a super interesting
topic. It's dumb that we are talking about it. It's a dumb topic in terms of like that. It should be not in terms of like us.
We should never be talking about trading a player like AJ Brown. It's just because
this is a thing.
I agree.
I mostly agree with you.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert. Because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing savings. It's easy to use, and you get cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. The brands you love pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Where are you at with Jalen? Obviously, Rocky started to the season. Last two games, best
I don't think version Rocky of the season. I didn't think so either.
I thought he had really good halves at times.
Not a perfect start to the season.
Inconsistent. I agree with that. I think it's much better.
I can't say Rocky in terms of it's not bad because I think you would agree with me at the time of the Bucks game, first half. That's like one of the first.
Agreed.
Totally. Yeah. I thought he was great the first half against Dallas. I thought he was great one of the two halves against the Rams. Was it second half? I would say he's had halves that have been great. Yeah, inconsistent.
So we actually disagreed about the Dallas thing.
You and I totally disagree. I thought he was good in the Dallas game.
So I thought in the Dallas game, he was very good as like a create something and running thing. Yeah. I didn't think the offense.
Correct. But I think that's
I'm crediting. No, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Crediting. Like the only point I was making
carrying the offense.
It's not like I left that game being like the passing game with Jalen. Yes. That was my only disagreement. I agree with your point that like they won that game because of Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
I just think it was more like, look at him running all around, which is great, but it's not like reason to believe.
What is wild game. How little he's run since, you know, I mean, it both is. Designed and obviously choosing to run on the fly, but
Deniz Seldman keeps tweeting this out. And I think it's super interesting. If you look at like the top, I think it's 6 or 7 games with like no designed runs for Jalen or the lowest, like 4 of them are this year. And the other 3, he like was hurt or left at halftime. So it does seem, this is why I keep meaning to ask Nick this. I know he won't answer. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll ask Petullo later.
He won't.
He also won't answer. But like, it does seem.
Is it a scheme-related question? Won't answer.
Yeah, like it does seem like they're making a conscious decision to run him less.
Oh, absolutely.
So maybe you have to answer.
This time of the year. Yeah, I think we'll
Nick,
see.
Nick, Brandon Lee Gotten Sirianni, please answer the question. Yes.
I don't love that from a standpoint of like.
But they're obviously doing it, right?
Yeah.
Like, the numbers are indisputable.
Now, the thing they could, the only they could be saving it. You know,
yeah,
they could
I think
be,
they are to some extent, but I don't think like some of the runs they do with Jalen.
But that's still intentional.
Particularly,
I think it's intentional. I definitely think it's intentional. I'm just saying there might be a reason for it.
I think like,
outside of keeping him out,
it's assumed that like running Jalen Hurts is always risk. I don't think that's always the case. Like some of those runs they do with him, like the QB counter bash, or like you know they have him with a convoy out in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he very much is like in control there and can like.
He's also very
himself.
Smart.
Yeah,
he's so smart. He never gets hurt. Yeah, that hurt in Chicago is like the only time we had taken like a big hit.
That wasn't even a huge hit.
No, it was just an awkward landed in the
on him. Yeah, so I think they need to get that involved a little more than not at all. Which is basically like all the critiques of the offense in general. It's like do under center a little bit more than literally never.
Yeah, totally.
Like, just do it.
Do motion a little bit more than never.
The guy who says a wise man avoids all extremes is like they do some of the most extreme stuff in terms of not operating.
Let me dispute this with you. Okay. So like,
you can argue this one.
No, like honestly, we probably agree more than you think. But like, here's my thing with this, right? So you have people that do for the website.
Yeah, Johnny Page is our film.
Johnny is phenomenal. Yeah, Johnny's great. Like, he is so good at it.
I think I want to highlight what he's really good at too is that like, I think a lot of scheme people, it's good, but like they can kind of talk over your head a little bit, or it's a little
it makes jargon. It very approachable.
Very consumable. So check those out on
BeatingNation.com. Yeah, for sure. And like, dude, I learned things from reading. Yeah. Like he is super smart, right? But here's what I would say, and here's my issue with all of like the people, like the Ringer will do it. They'll write articles being like, how could they not do this, right? Like we don't know the why.
Sure.
So while I would agree with you, it's like, of course you don't want to be 32nd in anything.
Yeah.
And of course you should be doing like under center stuff. I'm not disagreeing. Where my disagreement is only when people are like, look at these idiot coaches, as if like, again, and I've,
as credit. If they want their plays not to work,
as
right?
If like, as if like,
what's the worst play I can call right now? Let's go with that one. Well, run it right
like,
the line.
It's not like they sat there at the bye and was like, let's learn about under center. Yeah. Right? Like they know about it. So sure. While I agree with the criticism of like, why are you not doing it? Where I turn, whether people keep going straight, is like they have the why that we don't have.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it's more nuanced than like, oh, they're all a bunch of bozos.
Exactly. Like, how could this idiot not do under center? And like, then it works. So I'm sure like there was a reason why.
At the same time, hard to explain why they just weren't doing it at all. Again, more than, and then also like the weird thing about another Nick thing, like master the things that require no talent. How are you so bad at getting out of the huddle? Like, how is that like?
Brandon,
like, oh, only we can figure this out.
It drives me crazy.
That is one of the stupidest, like, again, something to talk about.
1,000%.
Well, and it could be with Kevin Mitchell with the time getting plays in. It's like a learning. I don't know. I'm just throwing something. Right. We don't know the why, but we'll throw it like unacceptable. Like certain things aren't really unacceptable.
Think about like the offseason.
This is unacceptable.
And we're like talking about all the things that could go wrong or right this year.
No.
And no one is like, oh, what if they can't get the plays in time or they can't break the huddle early? That's not like a real.
So my only defense of it is that, I like, according to the stats, they've been like 28th or below every year Nick's been here.
Yeah.
So like, I do wonder if there is like
a part of just what
a
they
reason
do.
For it. Sure. But I agree with you. Like, and this was a few pods ago. We really,
especially when
I think it's a red flag for a larger.
And especially because it's a red flag when you had play Jordan Mailata on the Mailata show
bringing it up
is saying this is a problem. We have to be better at it. And so it takes away from the, they want to do it.
And they're worse at it than ever. Like they've always been.
And this is the worst year. Like
extremely bad. Yeah. At
look,
it
we've
year.
Never talked about it. It's never been a topic.
It happened on Sunday. They had delay a game penalty. Yeah. You're at your own stadium. Yes. You have delay a game.
Yep. Like, and, what are you we've doing? Never, it's been something that we've never talked about. Like, why is this happening before this year? It's been a topic of conversation.
Yep. And again, like to get back to the why, like I can't figure out why. Like we asked Nick, we asked Jordan, like, and literally all that goes, well, there's a lot of different things. It's like, I get that, but it's like saying, it's like saying, why is a car broken? Like there's a lot of parts, but like one of them is clearly broken.
It could be as simple as Kevin Mitchell has never called plays before. He is not as quick at it as other play callers are. He's not sure of what he's doing and he gets the play and they cover for it. Like it could be, I'm not saying that's it.
I know,
I'm just saying there could be like stupid reasons for clerical, logistical reasons for why it's happened.
Yeah. So where are you at with Jalen?
I feel good. I feel confident. I think the Giants game, the first one, was easily his worst game of the season. I think it was a 28.
Worst since 23, really.
28 point swing in that game in terms of the Devontae missed touchdown on the deep throw and the there pick, and then the interception.
Now, uncharacteristic mistakes.
Totally. Yeah, I'm not like, I don't think, oh, these are like big issues.
Yeah. Look, it's his only pick of the season.
The magnitude of those mistakes are
massive. How crazy is that? It's his only interception of the season. We're through 8 games. Yeah, knock on wood. You're right.
I think he's been. I mean, these past two games, really impressive. Obviously, the volume hasn't been there, but it hasn't needed to be because he's been incredibly efficient.
Yeah.
And he's hitting on, he's like averaging, I think, what, like something like over 10 yards.
The deep ball, and he's always throwing a nice deep ball. Like he's throwing the best deep balls I've ever seen.
Nick says this all the time, but this is what was frustrating about earlier in the year. They just weren't throwing the ball deep at all.
Yes.
Like, why?
So I think that was Jalen.
Just do it. You need to do it. Even if you throw an interception, it's okay. It's basically a punt. Like, you have to do it.
I feel right now, as we sit here today, like almost the best I've ever felt about Jalen in the way that like you watch him against the Giants and the Vikings and he seems so in control.
Yes.
Like he is in the pocket and I feel, and I don't know
like
this.
Like the AJ play where he's like, go, like where he's pointing at something. Exactly. Like, that's like, you know, you see Mahomes, you see those guys who like feel so comfortable.
Yeah.
Well
also, and like, I don't know the answer to this cause I don't know what he's looking at pre-snap, but it looks like more than ever Jalen knows what he wants pre-snap, and then post-snap, that's what happens.
Dude, his numbers against the blitz this year are a perfect example. He's been amazing against the blitz this year.
So it just feels to me like Jalen is more ready to carry this team if they need him to do it for the rest of the year. Yep. Like, now the running game was awesome, obviously. And yes, like, I do think the running game will probably be very good the rest of the season, if I had to guess. Like, I'd be pretty surprised.
I think it's about the health of the O-line more than anything.
And Tank seems awesome.
Tank, man,
he does.
Like, why the about hell? The post game body?
Where they were like, this guy's a kick returner.
That's a no, what are you doing? No, he's not. That's, you know what he is? He's a pretty dynamic match. Running back.
You know? They were so, but you know this, like, they were, the Eagles themselves were so insistent on the messaging. They're like, well, it's not just a running back. He's a kick returner.
But what's so silly about that is, like, and this is a deep cut question, but like, what is up with Will Shipley? Like, I thought going into this year, Will Shipley was going to be
excited about
the number two by a wide margin.
And I thought we'd be sitting there like, hey guys, Will Shipley's really good.
He barely plays.
And I mean, he is really good.
Especially when you look to last year with like, and I don't think Kenny Gainwell is as talented as Tank Bigsby. It felt like every time last year, Kenny Gainwell touched the ball was a positive play.
I just
every single time it felt like.
I've long been in Kenny Gainwell.
I know, but
I think Tank has more special. Yeah,
that's qualities. Where I'm going. Easily, is that Tank is a much more talented.
You want to add on this? The longest run of Kenny Gainwell's career at the Eagles.
Of Gainwell's
career. Can I guess?
I don't know. It was in a playoff game.
14 yards.
Oh, that's literally what I was gonna guess.
35 yards, which is not a lot for a running back.
I'd be curious to know how many has like over 17.
Yeah. Taking a 29 yard run in his
on a second and 26.
Second game.
I agree with that was kind of the point I was making. I don't think Kenny Gainwell was that special. It just felt like there were positive plays when he was in. Like it was 5 yard, 7 yard, whatever.
It's a
like
high floor, low ceiling player.
I felt it was when he was in it, he got the ball like it was a positive play. I feel like Tank Bigsby is so much more talented. Yeah. Like the upside of that is exciting.
I don't know how much I trust the running game after like just one performance. I'm very encouraged by it. I still don't think it like should be their identity of the team like it was last year. Like it's
I just don't think
that's gonna, especially again.
Can I say an identity thing?
Yes.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I haven't said this on air yet, so let me know if you think this is like copium or if it's like true. I think they're good enough. They don't need an identity. They can throw it. They can pass it. The whole point of having all this talent is you don't have to be one thing.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like we want them to be a running team or a passing team. And last year they were very clearly a running team. But I think like this year they are the closest I've seen to like an identity-less team. Like they can throw it and they can run it.
I think
the identity becomes something else in those cases. It's not necessarily throwing or passing. It's we're tough. We're this. We're that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gain an identity as you go. But I agree with your point. I don't think they are a running team or are going to be a running team this year the way they were last year.
Yeah, I think it depends how you define identity.
Exactly.
Like, I think identity in how I would define it is like something, you know, when all else is going wrong, we can fall back on this. We can lean on this.
And that's why they were a running team last year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That was their bread and butter. I don't think they need an identity in terms of they have to pick one or the other. They can do both, as we've seen.
Yeah. Their identity could be we do both.
But I think if we are going to talk about identity, I do think, and how it's shifting, at least from what it was last year, I think the running game should be, you know, a big element, but it shouldn't be the crutch. And I think it needs to be more about empowering Jalen and trusting Jalen, especially when he's playing this
well. You were saying that, I was thinking the same. It felt like last year felt like Saquon's team. Yep. This year feels like Jalen's team.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like, so in terms of like looking forward, like I've been pretty pessimistic about the team through training camp the first 4 weeks. Like, I mean, you were there every day with training camp. Like,
got dominated by the Browns.
Yeah, like, didn't look good.
How many
times
I've heard that they got dominated? They did. I know it was. I'm just saying, it has come up on this podcast so many times.
Maybe I'm overreacting to six quarters, but like, I think they're getting ready to go on a run.
I think that's fair to say.
If I were to set the over under on losses for the rest of the year, I don't think it's crazy to say
it's a tough schedule.
Like 1.5. I mean, like we've seen this movie before. Like they did it in 2021. They did it in 2022. They did it in 2024.
This is a tougher schedule than all those. It
is
though.
Agreed. It is, but like they're still the better team,
and that's okay. Yeah, especially if their games are close. You know, they're losing close games to like the Lions and the Packers. Like,
not well, both, the Lions and the Packers are massive games.
Oh, dude!
Like outside.
By the way,
I'm not saying both of them, but like,
I mean, just the NFC is. I mean, if the playoffs started today, it would be all two lost teams in the playoffs. Like the NFC is insane right now. There's a bunch of 6-2 teams, 5-2 teams. Obviously, 5-1-1 with the Packers. Like it is. Those games and having wins over the Bucks and Rams really helps.
Massive.
These games are going to be more important than other years in terms of seeding because it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Like, I think you could put like six of the teams in the NFC are I think you could say right now, like the Packers, the Lions, the Eagles, the Bucks, and the Rams
are making the playoffs. Shut it down. I think the Seahawks, too. And then I was going to say, I would put the Seahawks in
there.
But I think San Francisco, those last two spots, you can go up and down. Obviously,
Washington, I don't think.
I don't think anyone else from the NFC East is making it.
Washington, 3-5 right now. And do you know who they play next? The next two weeks?
They got a tough schedule coming up, right?
Yeah. It's like the Lions and the Seahawks. Seahawks and then the Lions.
They're cooked. The top of the NFC, I think those teams are pretty set. It's going to be about who beats each other and how it plays out at the end.
Look at the next four Eagles games. Like, the next two are massive, obviously, like, for tiebreaker standings.
Well, not so with the Packers because of the tie that they have, but
True. It doesn't matter with the unless you tie, unless you could have a tie.
To be fair, they have one loss and the Eagles have two.
But the point is you can't tie with them unless you have a tie. Yeah, so the head-to-head doesn't matter. The tiebreaker itself, the win matters, of course.
Of course.
Correct.
But in terms of like the head-to-head, where the Lions would matter more, unless you have a tie.
Good point. So for the Lions, obviously, it does matter. But then after that, I think an extremely tricky game is at Dallas.
It's always tricky.
Dallas is going to score 30 points.
Last year was the first year they won in Dallas. It felt like in years.
And then you have the Bears.
Swept Dallas since like a long time.
I think the Bears. Maybe. Because they lost the last game of the 6-0 game.
It was a long time. They just don't sweep the Cowboys. They don't do it.
So I think the Bears within itself on Black Friday is not like an overly tough game. Like, the Bears are good, but I think the tough part about that game is you're coming off of, you know, Green Bay, Detroit, Dallas. So all that being said, I think this team is getting ready to go on a run. Like, I think the bye week always helps them. Jalen, I think, has played overall very good this year, but I think is definitely arrow trending up.
I think
on
he's
Jalen.
Improving. When he said the best is yet to come, like, I wasn't like, I was like, yeah, I actually think the best is yet to come.
And I do think they've figured something out with this, like, 6-man offensive line, like, going heavy.
I agree. Best two games, the most they've ever done in the Sirianni era. I think you tweeted that.
We can all say that, like, Saquon hasn't lost a step, but, like, let's be real. Saquon's not looked good all year.
I don't think he's lost a step.
I think we're going to see a two-headed monster to an extent. Like, I think Tank is going to be involved.
You better play him more than ever.
Well, that's what I mean. So I feel like the running game doesn't have to be reliant on just Saquon bucking history here. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Tank could be involved here. So, like, I think all those things combined, I think, like, they're getting ready to.
I agree. I think things are coalescing nicely. You're getting healthier. Should be coming out of the bye. Mm-hmm. You get
bye weeks are a really good time this
Nolan
year too.
Nolan Smith back. I'm guessing from injured reserve for. We'll see if not the Packers game, probably shortly after that. Brandon Graham,
BG,
the GOAT. Ta'Quarian Bennett. I don't know how good he is, but like, it's an option at quarterback.
There's a trade deadline coming up. Like, we've just spent so much time about AJ. Like, the most likely thing is that Howie had someone to this team.
So with the trade deadline,
tough with roster spots though. Like, I don't know who you cut if you trade someone.
AJ Dillon's gone probably.
Right? You're gonna have to cut him to bring Nolan.
Well, he'll be for BG, I think.
So they have an open spot now after cutting Perry Nickerson yesterday. Yeah. So that's one.
Oh, I miss that.
You cut AJ Dillon, that'll be two, and then
you'll need one more if you make a trade.
They just cut Perry straight up. Like, it was just like, we've cut Perry. Wow.
They opened up this is really in the weeds here, but they also opened up a practice squad spot. I think he'll be back on the practice squad.
That is in the weeds.
There you go. I know you like that.
I love it.
I think my mindset going into the trade deadline is like, I'm almost I'm a man of extremes.
I am a man of extremes.
Welcome to the pod.
kind of like want a big move or not at all. Almost. I don't want to pay like a relatively, like, basically the Golden Tate.
You don't want to overpay
for. I don't want to give like a third for just.
Well,
like,
especially because they haven't worked. I mean, like, and again,
they don't.
It doesn't mean that it won't work yet. And JGI worked. We know that. Yeah. But like, when you've had the string of the Robert Quinns and the Jarn Avery's,
that's what, like, they don't need to get like.
It's either go get a difference maker or don't.
Exactly.
The point more is that I think it's hard. I think there's a reason you haven't seen a lot of in player season. Like, the trade deadline the last few years gotten bigger and bigger, but like, I think it's hard to bring football players from one scheme to another. It's just hard to incorporate them on the fly and stuff like that. So I just think it's a harder, whereas if you get like an elite edge rusher, you just take that guy in, I think it's just harder to do.
Well, they have maybe the best asset that could be moved at the deadline in the first pick of the third round. Like, if we don't think any first or second round picks get moved, because I feel like they don't normally at the deadline. Like, if the market is like the third, fourth, like,
if you're in that market, but that's the market I don't want to be in, I think.
But I think that's kind of the market. Like, I don't think Trey Hendrickson's getting traded. I don't think Max Crosby's getting traded. Like, I can't speak to some corners that might be available, but I'd be surprised if there's a corner move that costs a second or a first. I mean, how many times are a first or second round pick moved at the deadline? Like, it feels like that's not.
It's rare.
So if, like, the market of guys that are actually available are third and fourth round picks, they have what could be, I guess we don't know for sure, but like that Jets third round pick could be the first pick of the third
round. With that in mind, we haven't, like we spent a lot of time talking, we've talked zero about the defense. Where are you with the defense? The cornerback versus edge rusher and brought BG. Like if you're trading, what are you looking for? Yeah. You know, kind of all that together.
I just like, I think Vic's going to figure it out with what he has. People need to, like, I think people have rightfully mostly been frustrated with the offense.
Yeah.
And should be, because it's the most expensive offense in the NFL by far. By like the margin between the Eagles and second is the margin between like second and ninth. Like it's crazy.
Is it really? Wow.
I love those stats.
That's a great stat. Me too. Yeah. Me too.
It really hits home for me. Yeah. No, I agree. That's why I love it.
The Eagles defense is like the cheapest defense or second cheapest defense in the NFL. And also like the youngest, youngest. Yeah. So like
a little they have a lot of high first round picks invested in it. I get your point, but like they have invested in the
defense. It won't be the cheapest for long.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would argue picks are more valuable than cap space.
Okay. But it's just like that, the expectations for that unit can't be holding that to the same standard that
they're in the offense. I agree with that.
Especially when they lost seven starters.
And also just from the, I would say,
seven starters or six and Milton Williams, whatever you want to say.
Yeah. And also like they carried the team a lot last season. So maybe they like get a little bit more of some grace in the past.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I'm fine with them. I think they're going to be functional. Like, I'm not worried about them sinking the team.
What would you like to see how we trade for? You want a big deal, but what is it, an edge rusher? Is it a cornerback? Is it, you know?
I think high level edge rusher would be where the direction I'd want to go. Because, like, again, they don't need a guy because you're going to have Nolan Smith back, presumably. Joe's, I think, is coming on nicely.
Yeah, I think he's best game. Best game of the year for sure.
Josh Uche, I think, has been really like,
he was good again on Sunday. Like, I think if he's your fourth edge rusher, that's fine.
Third or fourth,
he's a very good fourth.
No, I know he's third right now. I'm saying if he's your fourth, I think you're in good shape.
Yeah. Ojulari was showing some signs of life before getting hurt. We'll see. Like they have.
No,
like,
I think we're stretching a little.
No, I'm not saying
you had me at Uche.
I agree.
They have guys. Like
agree.
I get it. The point is, you don't need to trade for another Ojulari or whatever.
Exactly. Like I want someone who can like come in and
tell me if this is crazy. Like, I don't watch many games and think like they're getting no pressure. Like, I know the stats back it up.
I'm with you.
Just the eye test.
I thought they had a ton of pressure on Sunday.
I think part of that, though, is that like Vic has had to work for that pressure.
He's right about that. There's been a lot of blitzing, a lot of pressure,
which is good. And it's good.
But it's not what Vic wants to do.
It's not ideal.
Holistically.
I think you need to get better with just your front four.
Because then if you're better with your front four, then you can mix that stuff and it's even more effective.
Last question before I guess we'll get to final thoughts. Like Jihad Campbell.
Yeah, I was before you asked that, my mind was like, he's going to ask me about this.
Look, I get it. Nakobe, I think, is actually, again, a reason to be optimistic for the second half of the season. Nakobe's been better than I thought he would be. He's back. He's healthy. Like, so
and the leadership matters. I think him out there helps from that.
I didn't think they would get the Nakobe of last year. If they get the Nakobe of last year this year, like that, I completely understand why that guy has to be on the field. But I also think it's like a little bit of organizational malpractice to have your first round pick going from 50 plus snaps a week to 21.
Not just that, when he was awesome. Yes. Like it's a different thing if it's like, oh, he's Makuba. If it's like you got someone, you're like, all right, Makuba's not playing. He was Campbell's awesome.
But I don't know what the answer is.
I don't either. It's a tough spot.
It's almost like they're like respecting Nakobe and the fact that he's going to be a free agent. So they don't want to like totally like take
him. So I think it's more than that. I think Vic thinks Nakobe is really, really good.
I think there's,
and I also think the leadership matters. I think that they, like awesome. Jalen Carter, all the stuff that's happened this year, the defense, that I think they think that having Nakobe out there, like it might not be the only, but I think it gives them something from that perspective.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
That I think they were missing. Well, or they think they were missing.
To your point, like, yeah, Vic's gonna play the best players. We saw that with Bryce Huff. 100%. He's not gonna play Bryce Huff if he thinks.
Ask Devin White.
By the way, there's no
accountability.
I agree. I think it's a flaw of Vic that it didn't work out. But I think they're like, I understood.
I think it's a flaw of Bryce Huff that he didn't try to tackle people last year.
But if you, like, but to be fair, if you want to do the like Nick Sirianni has to manage AJ, like they spent a lot of money on Bryce and Vic didn't make it happen. Like I think, look, it's fine.
There's flaws. He's not a flawless. Yeah. Both sides. Yeah.
Anyway, so where were we with that?
Jihad.
Oh yeah. I just like, man, you need to invest in that guy's future. I'm not even just saying future beyond this season too, because obviously you're competing now. Like again, I look how much Nolan Smith grew from the course of last season. So like when you're taking Jihad off the field, like you're potentially, you know, you're not allowing him to get better for that stretch run.
Here's the other thing. If Jihad's going to play almost exclusively edge, like, so are we just developing him as an edge now?
Well,
like,
to that point, the development part of it matters, you know?
Like if you don't sign Nakobe, let's say they play Nakobe, and I don't think it's crazy to say like 70% of the snaps at linebacker the rest of the year. Like, so if he walks in free agency, first of all, maybe you resign him. But if he walks in free agency.
Oh, I don't think they resign him. You can't.
Well, unless they want to make Campbell,
I think you are severely
underestimating.
I know. He's a much better.
He's not.
I think he should be a middle.
You'll have to come back.
He would be like literally the lightest edge rusher.
Yeah, right now. I agree. He's got to put a muscle. He's a rookie. I agree. I agree. But I'm saying they drafted him because they think he can play edge. They did not draft him thinking he'll be a middle lineman.
No, they did not draft him.
I guarantee you, if they didn't think
I think they drafted him because they think he could do a lot of things.
Yes. I think if they thought he couldn't play edge, they would not have selected him the first round.
Yeah, not as a full time player.
I don't think he's a full-time edge.
Well, it looks like he's about to be a full-time edge.
Well, I think it's circumstance.
Like, but they're not even having him like that rush a lot, honestly. Like he's lined up at edge, but they're not having him like rush a ton.
Right, because he's not good at it right now. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. I just think it's a tough situation because you want him out on the field.
Yeah.
Also, we want to talk about like athletes are humans. Like, how do you think he feels?
Sure.
Like 30 snaps.
And
cut,
also, like I don't think Nakobe's been bad.
When you play great, again, you got to say that. Like, there's no,
But when you see Nakobe give up that catch like he did, it's like that's the limitations of Nakobe Dean. Like he's smaller and he's not athletic, so you're gonna give up a play. It was a really good catch, a really good throw, but like Jihad could break up that pass.
I agree. Also, here's
the
thing:
can we just ask the opposing team to tell us when they're running, and we can put Nakobe in. If they're passing, we'll just switch it out.
And
we're good.
Do what Petula,
right? That's fine. Yeah, that's right. Can they just let us know?
Exactly.
I don't think it's quite a good problem to have, but there are worse problems. I agree. I would say
closer to a bad problem,
especially. Considering what they had at linebacker and for many years.
Oh, buddy. Yes. The amount, like, it just to have linebacker.
Just
play,
to find right? one guy who can play. Yeah.
All right, let's get to final thoughts.
I'll go first.
Well, you always do anyway.
Well, I bet, I mean, you want to go first?
No, you go first.
All right. So I have one about music and one about TV. Do you guys want to pick?
Don't look, like. I'm not. I'm just sorry. Music. Let's hear music.
All right. So I think for concerts.
Yeah.
James, just let me finish.
This is going to drive
James
me.
Has never been to a concert.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Me would really I actually think you might be okay with this.
Because I thought it was going to drive me up.
Look, like, I appreciate what it does for smaller bands when they get to open for a big band, right? Like, I get it. But I think if we want to just be not like what the band wants and what the crowd wants, I think an opener for all concerts should be a cover band for the genre of music that band plays. So, like, if I'm going to see
I don't want to see a band cover the band that's about to play.
No, not their music.
So you're like, saying if it's like a classic rock show, you're going to get a cover band.
Example here.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, like, so let's say if I'm going to see a pop band,
like
it'd
you
be
would
a
want-
cover band of like playing. Because I know when I'm at concerts and like the DJ plays music and it's the same genre that music is, like, people go crazy, like, people love it. So, like, I get it. It's cool to discover.
I don't
bands.
Hate it. I like openers, but I don't really care. Like, openers, I'll skip opener.
How many people in the audience know the opener? Like, it's a relatively
small point. Well, I do think that's the point. You know,
I know that's the point, but like, it's not a charity concert. Like, I would like to enjoy the 20 minutes before the concert.
Well,
so it's
you
like,
could if you pay attention. I'm sure the opener.
But I know
good.
I'll enjoy it way more if there's a band up there playing a song I know.
Not necessarily.
Well,
but not necessarily for everyone else. People like to find new music and people like to hear new things.
They can do that.
And
people
might want to hear
shuffle.
Someone else play their own song rather than hear someone else play someone else's song.
I agree. I don't want them to play the band that's playing songs.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, period. You're still, it's still a cover band. They're not writing their own music and stuff.
Right. But it's like,
I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm kind of, I don't hate it.
I guarantee you people would enjoy it way more.
I went to a concert one time and saw the opener and they started playing. And I'm like, these guys sound way too good, like, instrumentally. Mm-hmm. I went with my cousin. I was like, I bet you the singer sucks.
And he sucks.
Instrumental band. Yeah. I was like, I kind of feel like a jerk because, like,
that's so funny.
Oh, man. Because, like, people who probably heard me say that were like, there's no singer.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm kind of right.
But you were dead right. You were dead right. Yeah.
It's funny.
Great band, Chon. Like, C-H-O-N.
Probably 7 years ago, I saw Mumford and Sons and they had an opener who was like unbelievable. Like, so this is hypocritical, but like, I was like, I started to
really
like him.
Right?
And this is the funniest thing. So I actually saw him at Firefly like 2 years later.
Marcus Mumford?
No, the opener.
Oh, the opener. Yeah.
And I was able to get close to him somehow. And I was like, yo, man, you're next up. You're going to be so big. Wow. Blah, blah. And he like never took off.
Yeah.
So it was a bad call by me.
Yeah.
He should have known. Once I co-signed, I was like, you're in bad shape,
bad.
Buddy.
It's bad.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Are you meaning to go?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay. Later. All right. So I'll do a Zoe thing and then I'll do a final thought. First, though, real quick, I don't know if this counts as a final thought, but maybe it's an extra one, whatever. Nick Sirianni, when I talked to him off the air today, told me he liked my voice and that I reminded him of when he watches Always Sunny. And
of
I
course.
Was like, Nick,
of course.
That's my voice from Charlie Day.
That's so funny.
I can't believe he's the first person ever seen
I know.
He was in such a good mood this morning.
Dude, he was like so chatty and stuff. Yeah. But isn't that great? I had to tell the Go Birds listeners.
That is very
Nick Sirianni thinks I sound like Charlie Day.
He strikes me as a big Always Sunny guy.
It's a great show.
He's definitely an Always Sunny guy.
Okay. So Zoe, and then I've got a final thought that I've mentioned before on here, and I'm going to find out because I watched it again. I'm going to find out if Elliot watched it, because of all the things I've suggested, this is actually the most up your alley. Like, even when I said it, you're like, oh, I should probably see that.
Wow.
Like,
I definitely didn't.
And even if you didn't, I will at least new listeners, maybe Brandon, Tucker, I think you were there for it, but we'll see. We'll get to that. But first, Zoe, Zoe has lost her front teeth.
Oh, that's wow.
Very exciting.
Hockey player.
No one is more excited about losing teeth than kids. I don't remember getting this excited. So Zoe lost her second front tooth.
Yeah, I feel like as an adult. Not
so this is not a good one. This is literally what. Yeah, as an adult, it's way worse. Yeah. I did a final thought a while ago, or like a few weeks ago, where I'm like, how weird is it that your teeth just fall out? Like, it's crazy.
Well, now they can regrow.
That's right. All right. Anyway, so here's the progression of things. Tooth comes out, starts squealing with delight, literally like squealing. Then sings All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth at the top of her lungs.
Christmas music.
Then this is bedtime. It's bedtime. She got up from bed. Then says, can I look in the mirror? Cause I want to see it. She goes, I've never seen myself without a tooth.
Yeah, it's true.
Says that. Then asked it. This is the best. She asked if she could stay up late to admire the tooth.
She's so funny.
Funniest kid ever. So funny.
Like, who thinks of that?
Yes. So there we go. Good. That was funny.
You could really trick kids with AI pictures. Like, imagine showing her a picture when she's like, here's you without a front tooth.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. You're right. Everything messed up. You're right.
It'd be wrong to do. I'm just saying you could do it.
All right. And my final thought. And so I mentioned this. I think I watched it a couple years ago. I watched it again. The best documentary ever made, in my opinion. Certainly sports doc. Hoop Dreams.
So I've seen Hoop Dreams.
Okay. Yeah. So you have seen Hoop Dreams.
Yeah. Like a long time ago.
Did you go back and watch it then? You said you'd go
back.
I think
it's a little long.
Yeah. It's 3 hours.
Yeah. It's a little long.
It's a little long. Everything's 3 hours these days. Almost
these days. Back then, it wasn't. It's good though. It's good.
Watch it in two parts.
It's good. I like it.
No, it's not acceptable. I mean,
it's
more
it's good.
Have you ever seen Hoop Dreams?
No.
Amazing movie. It's a documentary about two kids in a Chicago high school.
You were telling me about this last time. Super famous. Out, I think,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's one of the most famous documentaries.
I feel like it's like an influential documentary.
Yes,
too.
It is super popular, super famous. Yes. Tucker, have you seen Hoop Dreams?
I have not. Put aside a lot of time.
I feel like you actually listen to me. You actually watch things.
I'm surprised you haven't seen
have
it.
Good opinions right. about things when you do watch them. Tucker, wow. watch Hoop Dreams.
I still have two parts of the Allen Iverson documentary.
Oh, let's watch that. Hoop Dreams is better. I'm just telling you.
Is it good, by the way?
Hoop Dreams is amazing. I only watched the first part, which is up until he's done with high school. But it's cool because they have like interviews of him from like his rookie year and stuff talking about.
I feel like
his
I know everything there is to know. But
me too. But I think it's like, all right, it's interesting interviews from.
I'll watch it.
I've never seen Kristen before.
Watch Hoop Dreams. Best doc ever made.
What's Zoe going to be for Halloween?
She's going to be Sophia from the Unicorn Academy.
I don't know what that is, but neither, that sounds cool.
A little weird.
Neither did I, big dog. It's a good costume. Like the it looks.
What if Brandon was like, "That's what I'm being."
She's very well. So we keep saying it. What's going to be? Oh, so no one knows. And we went to the post office, and Lisa at the post office. She's like, "No way! I love Sophia. It was like the greatest moment." So it's like, "You know Sophia in the Unicorn Academy?" And they spent 5 minutes talking about Unicorn Academy. She was so happy. So we found one person who knows.
Nice.
So I want to get everyone's favorite Halloween song. That's not my final thought, but I just want to throw that out there.
I mean, I think there's a clear cut.
Okay, but think about it. I'll give my final thought if you want to think about it a little bit. Yeah. You're ready to roll and have it locked and loaded.
Okay.
I just want to talk about the Sixers a little bit. I'm excited about... So going into the season...
Hold on real quick. Are you sure they shouldn't have drafted Ace Bailey instead of VJ?
A lot of early
victory laps. I just
want to
make sure I just want to check.
It was funny. I saw a tweet yesterday about how good the first four picks have been.
Going into the season, anything we get from Joel Embiid to me is just a bonus.
Like, amen.
It's just nice.
It's so much easier to enjoy him that way.
And I love him, to be clear. But I reached the point where I just can't defend him anymore because like a lot of the criticism is valid. And I just don't have the energy. I'm not going to be the one leading the charge against him, but I'm just not going to. I can't be like.
Dude, the best way to enjoy Joel this year is like literally when he plays and scores, it's like, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like,
pretend he's not on the team.
Yeah, exactly. They don't even need him. Like, whatever.
So
honestly, if he could protect the rim, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So whatever. And honestly, I don't really care about the team success. I mean, I do. I'm rooting for them like high level conceptually, but like what I really am looking forward to. VJ and Jared McCain. Mm-hmm. And I like Maxey too, but like I already know what he is. I'm more the unknown of McCain and Edgecombe, very intriguing.
But Maxey, I think, has shown in these first three games at least, like
for sure.
Yeah, like he's been awesome.
Yeah,
especially just, after a down year last year. Yeah.
Totally agree. And he looks like so happy.
Yes. After I wonder why
wearing it last year. VJ's awesome. And
VJ's unbelievable. He's like a 27-year-old.
I wanted him was because like it was almost the Eagles-ification of it in terms of like draft a guy who's a dog.
Yes.
And that was what worried me about Ace Bailey. It was like, I don't know about this guy. Kind of seems like he might be a loser.
Yeah. We'll see.
But VJ's been unreal.
Yeah, like, he's unbelievable.
I was high on him. Like, I feel like more than consensus. And even for me, I'm like,
for anybody. I mean, he's having like games where it's like, it's is he going to be the next Dwayne Wade?
I was thinking about this yesterday, and this is obviously prison in the moment. I don't know how many players in the NBA I would trade him for. When you consider his age,
I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. Dude, he's had one of the best SGA, three first games of rookies had.
Anthony Edwards, like I trade
him
for
Maxey have the most points for a backcourt in three games ever in the history of the freaking league. I was cursed there, Tucker. I held that in. Yeah. I was going to say in the effing league. The effing league. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
And this kid's 20. He's 20 years old. It's nuts.
And then again,
it's awesome.
You get McCain back at some point. Yeah. So very, very exciting. Just for that alone.
Yeah. I'm with you. Young
that's
and
your
exciting.
Final thought? The
I'm excited. I'm excited, not again for excited the teams, the players. I'm excited to be excited.
Do you have any
about
local restaurants you want to plug for you?
Not this time.
No. But no, I'm so with you. Like the Sixers tweeted out this morning, like instant mood boost knowing they're playing tonight. And like they would have tweeted that last year. They
would have get the
right.
Yeah.
And it's just to tie the Phillies in quickly. I do think there is something so nice
good thing Jack's not here.
About the beginning of something. And it felt like the Sixers window had closed. And now it feels like it's wide
It feels like a new window.
Yeah, exactly. Window. Right. Yes. Yeah. Like they're not going to win the title this year.
No,
I mean,
that's
sucks,
a point.
Who knows, blah, blah, blah. But like,
they're not going to win.
It feels like the beginning of something. Whereas I feel like with the Sixers and the Phillies, we've been dragging the carcass of hope. And now it's like a new animal that's like exciting and like alive.
Yeah. Just to the last thing that we just mentioned there is nothing that Jack hates more than Elliot texting about the Phillies.
replies. He doesn't.
Oh yeah, he left the group text.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
Really respond. Yeah.
So yeah. Mad. Yeah. Like it.
Well, you will know it is because he knows I'm right.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted. I was happy. I was able to put the Bryce Harper I'm pissed graphic. They got it out there. I was like Jack when Elliot texts about baseball.
Bryce, yes. Bryce and Embiid over here.
Yeah, I die. You know?
Yeah. Joelle Harper, I think works better.
Oh man.
What's your favorite Halloween song?
Yes. I think it's Clear Cut. It's the Monster Mash.
Okay.
Good answer.
It is the number one Halloween.
Well, so it's so when we're saying Halloween, like just Halloween.
Like Thriller doesn't count.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. So Thriller should count. So I was gonna say Thriller.
Thriller is like a commercial.
No, but Thriller is Halloween. Yeah. I like Spooky a lot by Dusty Springfield as a deep cut.
Okay.
So I guess if all I want for Chris, like
I think Monster Mash is the Halloween
Monster
song.
Mash, yeah, exactly. That's what I was trying to think. It's like the Halloween song.
Like it's family, that, and then it's family a, song. It's a,
well, so I mean, honestly, the best is the Halloween theme. The
movie.
Yeah, but if we're gonna include that, then I think you include the Addams Family. Like,
yeah, that counts.
Sure. I still think it's the Monster
Mash. Well, Addams Family is like I think it's actually the Halloween theme. If we're being real about it.
Wow.
Don't you?
Nah.
I go.
You never hear that on the radio.
This is Halloween.
Of course not.
From Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ah.
Wait, what's that?
Jack Skellington fan?
Yeah, I am.
I'm not a big Nightmare Before Christmas guy.
You're not. I mean, yeah.
It's not surprising.
I should rewatch it, but I remember being a kid not liking
it. Rewatch Hoop Dreams before you watch it.
I'm not rewatching Hoop Dreams. Yeah, 3 hours.
What else you get? I'd rather watch 6 hours of some dumb reality TV show.
Are you flying to London next week?
Yeah, we got some shows lined up.
It's some dumb reality show.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's better than Hoop.
Well, they got this new thing.
That's not like
all-time acclaimed documentary, but sure.
I don't watch it on my own.
Love them, like whatever. Yeah, it's fine.
It's good. It's entertaining.
Yeah, it's not boring. It's not boring. I'm sure reality.
Well, now, do you guys remember Wife Swap from back in the day?
Oh, God.
You remember Wife Swap?
Yeah.
So now they're doing it with the housewives, where a real housewife goes and swaps with a regular wife.
Oh, you must be so excited.
I DVR'd it and promised Chris and I wouldn't watch it until she got home.
I can't. I'm really watching.
It was unbelievable.
Boom.
Done to be with. Yeah. Done. It's good. Good. And I didn't want to end the pod. Now I do. So that worked out well. Thank you for coming on, BLG. Always a treasure. Thanks pleasure. You are a treasure, unlike Ben Simmons. We'll have you on again later, obviously, in the season. Later in the week, normal pods. Elliot's leaving for London at some point.
Yeah. We'll figure it. We'll do Thursday.
Yeah. All right. Until then, he's Brandon. He's Elliot. I'm James.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.